The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and we'd like to invite the children forward for a message.
I know, for the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Well, in a moment, I want to do our Fruit of the Spirit song. Or did you do that? You didn't do the Fruit of the Spirit song, did you? Okay, I'm going to do that in a little bit. I want to end our time together on that. And today's fruit is strawberry. But before I do that, I want to talk about the word peace, because that's the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about today. And let's see, who thinks they know what peace means? P-E-A-C-E. Being calm in your heart. That's a good definition. That's a good, simple definition to start with. I'm at peace, right? You can have somebody that, your mom, your father today on Father's Day, maybe he just wants an hour just to sit at peace. But you know what? This is what I want us all to think about. We need to think about how we can make peace not just about ourselves. Because I think what Jesus is talking about and what Paul is talking about when he talks about peace is he's talking about a peace that goes beyond us. In other words, if I'm somewhere and I'm sitting on a couch enjoying myself, I can be at peace. But if somebody is working to make me at peace or there's strife in the world, maybe I could be actually helping that, and maybe that's not really the peace that God is looking for. In other words, Jesus didn't die for me and for you so that we could sit on our couch and feel comfortable. Jesus lives for us so that we can live for others, and that's true peace. And I don't know all the ways that we can do that. But what I do know is that each and every one of you can be a part of that by loving the world around you and by realizing that there is a bigger peace than relaxation, and it includes all of us. Okay, so now we're going to do the song. You guys think you can help me teach them? Remember the words to this song? Let's see if they can help us too. Let's just do it all together, and we're going to say, the fruit of the Spirit's not a strawberry today. And after church today, you can try a strawberry because we have some out there, okay? Remember how it goes, anybody?
Nope.
Some of you don't. So join in as we learn. The fruit of the Spirit's not a strawberry. The fruit of the Spirit's not a strawberry. If you want to be a strawberry, you might as well hear it, because you can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruits are love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, thankfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Pray with me. Dear God, bring us peace. and help me to bring peace to others. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats.
When Pastor Michael asked if I would like to give the message on Father's Day, I have to be honest that I had a bit of trepidation. To be honest, Father's Day hasn't always been a Sunday I've typically attended church since becoming a dad. I've instead viewed it as a bit of a summer birthday, since my birthday is just 5 days after Christmas. I often wish I had a summer birthday, and Father's Day has served as that role, since there is a lot more to do in Colorado in June than there is in December, especially since I don't ski. My typical Father's Day has involved a longer bike ride, maybe followed by grilling out or perhaps eating steak or sushi, which Jennifer is not always a big fan of, so I take advantage of that. More importantly, though, it's always involved spending a significant amount of time with my dad. I've always loved the day, as it was always such a great way to say thanks to my dad for all the sacrifices that he made for me to get me where I am today. I'm sure many of you know that you don't always appreciate those sacrifices until you're an adult. In the last 14 years, Father's Day has been even more of a special meaning, and that's because my father was diagnosed with leukemia 14 years ago, and each Father's Day has been a great way of celebrating another year of life and another year of him beating the odds. This Father's Day, unfortunately, is a little different because this is the first Father's Day that I'm spending without him as he passed away in August of last year. Before I go further, it might be helpful to provide a little bit more background about my dad. My dad was a Presbyterian minister who dedicated his life to his faith by fighting for peace and justice and helping those who needed an advocate. He did this in many ways. He started his ministry as a pastor in Cozad, Nebraska, but was then attracted to a church in North Omaha that was predominantly African American in the late 1960s. My dad was very passionate about civil rights, and he was very active in that mission in Omaha. Like many ministers from the North, he was very moved by Martin Luther King's message of nonviolence and his effective methods of bringing change to this country for the fight for equal rights for minorities. After meeting my mom, they moved to Chicago, where he continued his ministry. His first job there was to help start daycare centers in the city that allowed mothers to work to create financial stability for their families. From there, he served a church camp that served inner-city children. And my father's final job before he retired was the executive director of a homeless organization in Chicago called the Interfaith Council for the Homeless, which ran multiple shelters and warming centers throughout the city. His greatest accomplishment, though, was starting the first respite center there for homeless individuals who were recently released from the hospital. This was a major undertaking that made a significant impact, as it allowed individuals who were homeless to recover from their illness off the streets while also getting on a path of self-sustainability with career counseling and other services. Therefore, as you can see, giving this message today is a bit of a surreal experience, as I'm doing what my dad did thousands of times over his lifetime. I'm not positive on the math, but I've got to think I'm pretty close just adding up the years. So, more importantly, it's a great way to celebrate his legacy, as I'm grateful for this opportunity to speak with you today. As a PK, that stands for preacher's kids, for those of you guys who don't know, life can be very different, and my faith journey has been an interesting one. Growing up, church was an important part of my life through youth group, confirmation, and Sunday school. While my dad was working for the Interfaith Council for the Homeless, he also served several churches as an interim minister. My dad thoroughly enjoyed doing this, as it kept him connected to serving congregations. These churches oftentimes couldn't afford a full-time pastor, so it worked well for them and for him. My brother and I were often required to come with my dad early on Sunday mornings. For me, this was going to be the only way I was going to learn how to drive. Well, I wasn't always excited to get up early and leave with him in the morning. Looking back now, I treasure those moments I got to spend with him. When I graduated high school and went to college, I wasn't a regular church attender. And to be honest, I relished in my newfound freedom of not having to go to church each Sunday. However, when my dad was in town to visit, he always made sure that we attended. And after college, I was an advisor in a junior high youth group, And it was a fun way to get reconnected back into the church after college and a nice way to give back for my youth group days. When I met Jennifer, we moved to Columbus and we found a church. And not long after that, when we moved to Columbus, we found a church that we very much enjoyed and got married there. Eventually, we ended up in Fort Collins. And not long after that, about a year afterwards, we found out we were expecting twins. Needless to say, those first couple years with twins were pretty busy, and we ended up taking a little bit of a break from church just with all the craziness that was going on. But even as the kids got a little older, it was still easier to sleep in most Sundays. However, when my dad offered to take our kids to their Sunday school at their church, I realized that our vacation was over. throughout my life, he was always a great spiritual advisor, and he made sure that I never strayed too far away from God, even if I wasn't attending church on a regular basis. I'm very thankful for that prodding, as that's what started our journey to our Saviors and got us reconnected back into a faith community that's now hard to imagine being anywhere else. As you might guess, my dad was never one ever to be shy of an opinion or to tell you how he felt about something. Very much like Jesus, he would never be concerned about saying what you wanted to hear, but instead he would tell you what you needed to hear. Taking the easy way out or the shortcut was not allowed. As a kid and even as adults, I didn't always want to hear his opinion, but I knew that he had my best interests at heart. A lot of his passion guided me on the right path from his experience in his youth. His father, unfortunately, wasn't around as much, as he divorced my grandmother at an early age. With my dad as a middle child growing up in the Depression and then World War II, he developed a sense of responsibility and independence at an early age. He took very seriously the responsibility of being a dad, and he wanted to make sure that my brother and I had the guidance from a father that he didn't have. Most importantly, though, he wanted us to know that we were loved. This wouldn't always be by saying, I love you, but certainly was good about showing his love in other ways. While my dad didn't have a father who was actively involved in his life, many others filled that role for him growing up. For him, he had some great uncles who did a great job filling this void. I think one of the most important things that fathers and father's figures can do is to be role models to train the next generation. With my father's passing, along with his brother just this week, it has really set in that the torch has been passed to me solely to guide my children to walk them through that right path in life. And I think that responsibility that fathers and father figures have to teach well really comes from the realization that they are aware of their own mortality and the amount of time that they have on this earth is uncertain. In today's gospel, this is a similar situation. Jesus knows that his time on earth will be coming to an end, and he knows that he needs to prepare his disciples to continue without him. Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." I'm so moved by Jesus' calmness and confidence during this incredibly traumatic time before his crucifixion. His disciples, on the other hand, are gravely worried of how they will lead without him. And this situation is eerily similar to my dad and uncle, who both battled cancer. As cruel and horrible as cancer is, the one blessing is that it allows our loved ones afflicted with cancer to prepare for their humanly departure from this world and to bestow their wisdom to us before they leave. I also see parallels with my dad and uncle, who were truly at peace with the fact that their time on earth was coming to an end, much like Jesus. At the same time, us children, like the disciples, were much more saddened, scared, and distraught, knowing that we won't have our fathers to provide us their wisdom any longer. Jesus is confident because he knew what the next step is, just like my dad and uncle did, and that gave them comfort. In addition, Jesus has the confidence in his disciples to carry on, even though the disciples themselves don't share that confidence quite at that moment. That situation made me ponder what I would tell my children if I knew I only had a few days left. It's quite honestly an overwhelming scenario that I don't want to imagine, but it's pretty overwhelming. The gift of peace that Jesus has given us is an amazing gift. However, like many gifts, we sometimes forget that we have been given it and the true power that it possesses. While peace is certainly an amazing gift, I would be remiss to not discuss one of the other gifts that just Jesus has given us, this being Father's Day. The one I think is the most important is love, more specifically, unconditional love. One song that I've always loved to listen to on Father's Day is Love Without End, Amen by George Strait. I'm not a huge country fan, but there are a few country songs that really have really stuck with me over the years, and this is certainly one of them. If you don't mind, I'd like to read an abbreviated version of the lyrics. I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules, and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, he told that story just like I rehearsed. Then I stood there on those trembling knees and waited for the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies just don't love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. When I became a father in the spring of 81, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. And when I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to him. I said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said is just between us. He said, daddies just don't love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Last night, I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates, when suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they knew half the things I've done, they'll never let me in. Then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. Let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies just don't love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. At the end of the song, of course, it becomes quite apparent that the term father has a double meaning, which I love. Jesus loves us as the imperfect beings that we are with unending love. This song reminds me of the many times I tested my father's patience to the end. But still, his endless love persevered. When you have that foundation in your life, you know that you're going to be okay. For me as a dad, that has certainly simplified the parenting manual. As a parent myself, I have to say that this song has greater meaning now. As my kids and wife will attest to, I'm certainly not a perfect dad. But Jesus knows that we are imperfect, and that makes me feel better when I fall short. I'm reminded of this from some PSAs that were made in the last couple years trying to attract foster parents. In the ads, they show multiple parenting mishaps. For example, a mom accidentally vacuuming up the family hamster, among many other things. While these parents aren't perfect, they are perfect parents because they can provide the love and support that these kids need to be successful. So, and I do realize that this can be a difficult day for some. I'm very well aware that there are some dads who are like my dad's dad, who aren't always there for them. I also know that there are a lot of men out there who would like to be dads, and for multiple reasons it hasn't happened or it isn't possible. Well, not every man can be a dad. Every man can certainly be a father figure. In either role, if you can provide love and peace, you will be doing God's will. Amen.